Thank you, David. It's good to see you all this morning. I am happy to announce that we have over $13,000 that have come in for the vehicle for Cuba, and that is fully funded. And so we thank the Lord, and we thank you for your faithful giving in all of that. Starting 2 weeks ago, it was like, whoa, I got to raise $13,500. But you know, the Lord has been faithful. And I know they'll very much appreciate what's happening there. So continue to keep them in prayer. And all those people that are in different countries, this pandemic has really hit hard. You know, it's hit us. We don't like this. We don't like that. And that's, you know, we don't like it. But there are so many countries that have been hit so much harder. And they don't have the facilities or the means to treat the people. And so we pray for them, that God will see us all through this time. All right, we're beginning our Christmas season. And our series this year is on Fear Not. Fear Not. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet as you came in. You can take these thoughts with you to this morning. In the scripture, the angel appeared to different people and said the same thing to them. Three times as Jesus was expressed in flesh on the earth was fear not, fear not. First was to Mary. The angel came and said, fear not. She wasn't to fear because she was going to have a baby and she wasn't married. And she had never had a relationship, and so she was saying, what's this all about? The angel said, don't fear. Second time was to Joseph, and the angel said to Joseph, fear not, because he was marrying a girl who was pregnant, and he had nothing to do with it. And so he was fearful, but the angel said, fear not. Final time was to the angels, and to the shepherds, and the angel said, fear not. The Lord was giving them a mission that they felt inadequate and that they didn't have the prestige or the influence. And so over these next coming weeks, we are going to talk about each one. Today's message is entitled, Fear Not, Regardless of God's Plans for Your Life. Don't fear whatever God's plans are for your life. Find the portion in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 30. I'm going to read in the New Matthew Bible. And it says this. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went in to her and said, Hail, thou full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When she saw him, she was bewildered at his words and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found grace with God. People wonder, and scholars have looked at how old was Mary at this time, and the thought is she could be 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age at this point. Period of time, because in the culture that they lived, once a young girl reached the age of puberty, she was espoused to someone to be married. And so the thoughts, she's 16, 17, somewhere in this age category, and an angel came to her. And when the angel came to her, it wasn't like we see in some depictions, a chubby little angel. that sort of floats around. I mean, this was a warrior angel. This was Gabriel coming in full attire, I'm sure, standing before her. No one warned her. No one said, Mary, prepare yourself because you're going to have an unusual experience today. I mean, this just comes out of the blue to her. I mean, this warrior angel stands in front of her, starts telling her stuff that she cannot understand at all. And as a result, it says, I like how it puts it here in this version, she was bewildered and cast in her mind. cast it in her mind. I never heard that expression before, but it paints a picture to me. Her mind, her thinking, her emotions was disturbed. It was being cast back and forth. Her thoughts were going in every which direction. It was like she's on this ocean of thoughts in her heart and her mind, and the waves are rolling, the winds are blowing. She's being tossed all over. You ever been like that? You've been cast in your mind. Something has struck you. You can't put it into peace. You can't settle down. Your mind just in turmoil. You can't sleep at night. You can't, you know, you're just cast in your mind. I like that expression. But that's how Mary was. And so I put it this way. God's plan for your life will bewilder you and put your mind in a turmoil. And you know what it does? Produces fear. And so this good news, we know, spectacular news, this tremendous blessing upon Mary is being given, but all she can think is she can't understand it. She's perplexed. She's disturbed. Her mind is going. She's been disturbed. And so we need to realize God's plan for your life will bewilder you. It's beyond you. It's beyond your thinking. He's got a plan for your life. It brings fear. Now, I looked up just the definition of fear, and it says this: a feeling of anxiety and agitation in the presence of a perceived danger. Now, the danger can be real, or it can be perceived. You can think that something is a danger, and it turns out not to be a danger, and obviously this was the case with Mary. But she had fear. There was a feeling of anxiety. I mean, this ocean of feelings is rolling within her, this agitation within. But it was just a perceived danger because God was in all of this. Now, here's the verse that should help us settle the agitation of your heart. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Aren't you glad that your life is more than what you can plan out, what you can think it will be? It would be a pretty steady, consistent, peaceable life if I could figure it out, and I could just set it out and walk it out. But that's not the case. You're going to be disturbed. God's going to break in upon your life. He's going to challenge you with blessings that you are going to perceive as a danger. And it's going to set your mind in 1,001 directions. And what you need to realize, my feelings come out of my thoughts. And the way I think about things determine how I feel about things. And when you just are trying to go in your own thoughts, and this is the way it should work out, and it doesn't work that way, you just need to know God is at work now. His thoughts are bigger than my thoughts. His ways are beyond my ways. And so I can relax in this and realize, you know what? What I might be perceiving as a danger here, the Lord is saying to me, don't fear. Don't fear, you know, let your emotions come down because you're thinking in a way that's causing you to have fear, but you don't need to have fear. David coped with this, and he wrote Psalm 23, one that most of us, if we were raised in church, can quote. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, no fear, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David is saying, in the course of life, you're going to go through valleys of fear. And the greatest fear is death, fear of death. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Now notice it says the shadow of death. the shadow of death. Here's what you need to realize when you're going through difficult times and fearful times. Shadows can't hurt you. Shadows can't hurt you. Shadows scare you. They scare you because they trigger thoughts in your mind. You're going through shadows. They're disturbing. I can't figure it out. I'm perplexed. I can't get my head around it. I can't put all the pieces together. I gotta in that moment say, you know what? And fear is rising up within me. And I come to the point where I realize, you know what? These are shadows. Because wherever you see a shadow, it means there's a light somewhere. You can't have a shadow without light. God is there. Now, the light to your eyes may be hidden. But if there's a shadow there, there's a light. And I tell you, when God shines a light into your life for the plans and purpose for you, you can interpret it as shadows. Because you don't see the whole thing. You're only seeing in part, knowing in part. But you got to have a trust beyond this. You got to let an admonition say, come to you and say, don't fear, don't be afraid. What are you frightened of? What's causing you all this turmoil? What's churning your heart here? What's casting you about in every which direction? You have to come to the point you realize God is here. So I turn my attention from the shadow and I look for the source of light. I put my hope in the light that's causing the shadow. Because if there's a shadow that brings a fear, God is at work. Now that's hard for us. That's how his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Here's how it's put in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. We are not to have a spirit of fear. Now, there are going to be things that happen to us that will provoke fear, but it can never become a spirit that grips you. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. There are going to be moments when we see shadows and fears are going to come up within us. But then we look to the light and the Spirit of God dispels any spirit of the dark of darkness. Because light just dispels darkness. And so we come to a place where we realize I don't have to be afraid. We never need to live in fear. No matter what's coming our way. Because we know Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If we love God and we want God's will and purpose done in our life, you know what? He's going to work everything, bad things, indifferent things, accidental things. He's going to work them all together for good to fulfill your purpose. There's a light in the midst and behind every shadow that comes your way. So we don't need to have fear. What do we have? We realize God's power is at work in this. His power is at work. And he's given us love. We know our stance towards other people. We don't react against other people because love is the remedy to every relational problem. And so God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What a problem God had, if God could have a problem, is the sense that here he loves man, but man has sinned and he wants to redeem. So God so loved the world, he gave. And if you look that God's power is at work, I need to keep my relationships. I need to love my enemies. I need to love my friends. I need to love everyone around me. He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. We're thinking properly now. I mean, now you got sound thinking because you realize God is in the midst of this. I don't understand why it's working out this way, but God's at work. I don't have any fear. I get up every morning. I can cast off fear, and I face every day with power and love and a sound mind. So how do we do that in a practical sense? What are some things that will help us? Well, I just put down here how to fear not. How do you follow this admonition that the angel says, fear not. So how do I follow that? Well, here's the first one. Realize you are adequate for God's plan for your life. You are adequate for God's plan for your life. Here's this young teenage girl who has all these adults around her that's making decisions for her. Now she is confronted by this angel that's telling her all kinds of things that are beyond her ability to understand. Don't you think she would just feel a little inadequate? Wouldn't we look at a 16-year-old teen today and give them responsibility? I mean, we don't let people drive till they're 16. That's a responsibility that requires some maturity, we say. Well, there's a lot of things we wouldn't give a 16-year-old child that we have. But it's amazing that God calls this girl and gives her responsibility, and she feels completely inadequate, but God thinks she's adequate. I don't know, but that's just, and if you're here, if you're a teenager here, don't ever have in your mind, you know what, when I get older, maybe God will have me do something. You know, maybe I'll do something significant when I'm in middle age. God can call you as a teenager and younger and give you responsibility. You are important to God. Don't project into the future. Embrace where you are right now and say, you know what? God might have something for me that is just terrific, and I don't even understand it. And you get inklings of it, and it can even disturb you. But just keep trusting. Now, this is what the angel said to her. Luke 1:28. You are full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. I am so glad that when the Lord looks at us, he looks at us in grace. How many of us disqualify ourselves because we feel we're not good enough? Well, if I prayed more, maybe God would use me. You know, maybe I was more faithful and maybe I overcome that temptation. Then God could use me. We feel inadequate. I'm glad of the words of the song that we sing many times. And when his eyes, speaking about the Lord, are on this child, his grace abounds to me. You know that the Lord looks at you through grace? We look at our imperfections, our faults, our failures, our errors. God sees those, but he's looking at us through grace. That's why Jesus came, so he could look at us through grace. He came so that he would be full of grace and truth. He knows the truth about us, but he's looking at us through grace. Do you know what? When God looks at you, he's looking at you through grace. Oh, I'm so glad of that. Oh, I'm so glad of that. Because I see my perfections and I disqualify myself. You say, well, you wouldn't disqualify yourself. Obviously, maybe you think about about me like I thought about my pastor when I was growing up. I just thought, wow, this man, Frank Beaudry, he was a tremendous influence in my life. And I remember sometimes praying, saying, God, I want to stand before you like Brother Beaudry stands before you. Because I just thought, man, he was as perfect as I could imagine. Now, some of you don't have that illusion about me, or, you know, delusion. But we all feel inadequate. Every time I get up to speak, this morning, as I'm sitting there in the chair, I'm saying, Lord, sanctify me for your use today. Lord, I need you to sanctify me because I'm not holy enough. I'm not worthy. I don't have the ability. I don't have the character. I don't have the morality that I need to stand before this people. And I'm thankful that the Lord looks at me through grace. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't convict us and that we're not to act and repent and change. But I want you to know God's looking at you with grace and with favor. The Lord's with you. You may have felt you walked away from the Lord, but the Lord didn't allow you to walk away because he's walking with you. The Lord's with you. He's still perfecting you. He's calling you to do things, but he's never left you. He's with you. He sees you in grace. The Lord is with you. And I tell you, you're blessed. You're blessed. He's got some good things. He has blessings for you. He wants to bestow good things into your life. You need to see and know that in your mind. So when you're challenged with something that you feel is beyond yourself and fear comes up, oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Oh, God can't use me. Yes, he can. He used Mary and he used so many other people. You know that God only uses imperfect people? You know why? There's no other kind. There's no other kind but imperfect people. So he always uses imperfect people. But it's people who have a soft heart, surrender to him, open to hear his voice, and are responsive to him. So he always looks at us in this kind of favor. Here's the next thing that will keep you from fearing. Realize God's plans will disturb you. They will disturb you. They're not just easy, matter of course. They're disruptive. They are very inconvenient. You think you got your life together, and now suddenly this disruption has happened. It's inconvenient. They cause you to take an unexpected path. You know that many times God's plans for your life has to disrupt where you are right now. So that's why you lose a job. You have a financial failure. Maybe you lose someone that you love very much. We don't understand those things. They shake us. But it may be the very beginning of a tremendous blessing and the introduction of a new plan and purpose for your life. And so don't fear. It's not that you don't, you know, it's not like you got to just say, I really love this. I mean, but at the same time, that's your inner heart. Yeah, I love this because you know what? God's in this. And he's introducing me to a new area. And so he's got to shake me out of where I am. This is very disturbing. I don't like this. And here's the next thing. It takes you into an area that's outside your comfort zone. This is unusual. This is not where I normally go. This is not where I've been. I don't feel comfortable out here. I'm in new territory. I'm being challenged in an area I've never been challenged before. And you need to realize, you know, that will happen. God's plan for your life will involve some kind of change. Now, change brings two things. Loss. You lose where you are. You lose what you have because you're changing to something else. You got to let go of what you have to embrace something new. It involves loss. And loss brings pain. I don't want the pain. I want the end result, but I don't want the process. But the process is change. And part of the change is I'm disturbed. This is not convenient. I've got to do something I don't like to do. I'm afraid to do. I'm afraid I'm going to be embarrassed in doing this. I'm going to fail in doing this. What will others think about me when I'm doing that? We get into this mindset of, I don't want this. And it brings fear, pain. I don't want to go through it. But just like Mary, for her to bring forth the incarnate word of God, as we sung about today, she went through childbirth. There was pain involved. When we bring forth a new expression of Christ in our life, it will involve a birth, and that birth means pain. There's something that happens in you. And so we have to just embrace it. Rather than pushing it away and be fearful, putting ourselves in a cave. No, God, don't talk to me. Oh, I hope God doesn't ask me to do anything. Oh, I don't want God to give me that leading. And we're so fearful that God will do something in our life that's going to cause us to have pain. Listen, the pain is good because there's something on the other side of that. And you don't need to be fearful. And he's with you. And as the verse says, once the child is born, the pain is forgotten. And so we need to realize every new birth of Christ in you, through you, involves this process. So just get used to it. Here's the point I put in your notes. God interrupts our plans and invites us to be involved in his plans. Where you are is not the best place. You can have a plan for your life, and you might think it's good, but God has a much greater plan for your life. I mean, you need to get out of your plans and let God inject his plan for your life. Don't limit God. Don't satisfy for something that's less because I don't want to go through the change and I'm fearful. Don't be afraid. Embrace it. Walk into it. Trust God. You want his plan for your life, not your plans. I mean, I'm always amazed when people say, I'm afraid God will mess me up. I don't want to really yield to God because he might ask me to do something that would really ruin my life. Well, it'll change your life. It's not going to ruin your life. It's going to be for the better. You think your plan's better than God's plans? I mean, why don't you just, you know, sort of wake up to the truth. God knows more than we know. He loves us. He cares for us. We just need to yield to God. These are simple truths to express, but I know they're difficult to embrace them and get it into your fabric of your thinking so that your thoughts are his thoughts and the fear subsides and you're moving in faith. And that brings us to the next one. Realize God's plans are beyond your natural capability and require faith in God's ability. God's plans for your life, you're not able to do it yourself. You need God's help. Here's what it says in Luke 1:34. Then said Mary to the angel, how will this be, seeing I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, for with God nothing is impossible. So never think when you feel challenged to do something, I can't do this, it's beyond my capability. That is not the limiting factor. Mary could not be pregnant with a child within herself. No, the Holy Spirit had to overshadow her, and the power of God had to come upon her. So it is with everything we do. God's plan for your life will involve the supernatural. It will involve you having to put faith in God to do things that you can't do. And you don't need to be afraid of that. Don't fear that. All that you need to do is just obey God and walk in his direction. Realize that the fulfillment of God's plan for your life is impossible. But that's not the limiting factor. Many times growing up on the farm, I would walk into a building that we hadn't been in for a while. And as I walk through the entrance, all of a sudden I feel the spider web in my face. And it's an awful feeling. You pull it off. You walk into this spider web. And it's across a huge door. I mean, the thing is like 6 feet wide and, you know, 10 feet tall. And you think, how did a spider spin this web? How did it get from this point to this point? Like, how did it bridge the gap? I was reading one time, and it said, how do you know how they do that? The spider starts by dropping, as you've seen them do, and on that they spin this silk and they drop down the entrance. And they just are there hanging. But in the process, a little gust of wind comes and the wind blows them across and they latch onto the other side. And once they've got the span with one thread, then they can spin the whole web. How did it get from one side to the other? Couldn't do it on its own. Needed a little puff of wind out of their control that took them to the other side. Now, folks, that should speak to us. God gives us a plan for our life. We say, I can't do that. I can't get across the other side. So we don't even try. God says, no, just start spinning it out. You know, just start doing what you can do. You know, you can't do what I can do, but just do what you can do. Spin yourself down. And we've done that. And how many times do we feel, I'm just left hanging here. And it's not a comfortable feeling. And it can cause fear. But don't fear. The wind of the Holy Spirit's going to come and just give a little puff and going to do what you can't do. It's going to bridge the gap. And when it happens, latch onto the other side and then keep on doing what you can do. You know, that is a picture of our lives many times. I've seen in my own life, you've got to step out and do something you think you can't do. I could spend the next half hour telling you incidences in my life when that's been the case. I've shared before with you, and it's a simple thing, but I don't even know where it came to me. But as a young man, young teenager, I came to this conclusion. I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I think I can't do it. I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I think I can't do it. And that has helped me all my life. Because there's so many times an opportunity came up, and in myself I'm thinking, I can't do that. Oh, I don't want to put myself out to do that. I'll be a failure. I mean, I'll be embarrassed. I just can't do that. I look at my past, and I say, I can't do that. But you know what? Just embrace it. And God will do things that you can't do. And he'll take you places that you, because with God, nothing's impossible. And you just got to trust God. Now, that doesn't mean that every opportunity that comes your way you have to say yes to. No, you pray about every opportunity, and sometimes the Lord say, no, that's not for you. It's not just for you to use this. No, but when you feel an opportunity comes and you sense God's in it, this would be good, but I don't think I can do it. That's where you just start spinning out the web. Just start saying, okay, I'm just going to start doing it. And let the Holy Spirit come and empower you. Over and over, I've seen that in my life. And it's so true. Here's the next one. Realize God's plans have eternal significance. God's plans have eternal significance. Here's what the angel said to Mary. Call his name Jesus. He will be great. And will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give to him the seed of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Boy, she was part of something that was significant. It wasn't just having a baby. She was having a baby that was the Son of God. And that baby was going to change the history of the world. He was going to provide our salvation. He was going to set up a kingdom that we're part of today. And it's not going to have any end. And she was right there at the beginning to bring Christ manifested in the flesh. Do you want to be part of something significant? Or you just want to live out your plan? Well, I want to have a nice, easy life. I want to get a nice job. I want to have a comfortable home. I want to have some nice things. I want to enjoy my family. I mean, all those things are good, but they're your plans. What if God has something for you that involves something for eternity, that your life now has eternal significance, not just earthly significance? That's why you need to always look for God's will for your life. Don't be content to stay with your own plans and what you think. I put in your notes this statement, and this is so powerful. You need to embrace this. You are on earth for one reason only, to fulfill the mission God has given you, the mission that God has designed you for. That's the only reason you're here. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. It has eternal significance. It's part of the overall plan that he's unfolded. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. Now, if Christ is in you and you become the physical manifestation of Jesus, you don't think that that has eternal significance? Your life is going to make a difference in eternity if you will embrace that purpose. If you settle for something so easy, so indifferent, something so comfortable, you know what? You're going to miss out on the very reason you're here. God has an eternal, significant purpose for each and every one. That just boggles my mind. Me. He wants to use me. You. He's got a plan for your life. Significant plan for eternity. He wants you to reach out and embrace it. Here's the next point. Realize God's plan requires your obedience, not a specific outcome. He's not calling you to do something and you're responsible for the outcome. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible for your obedience and your faithfulness. All you are to do is what the spider can do. I can spin out a thread. It's for God to put it all together. I don't know how my piece fits with everything else, but it will fit. It's like we've all done jigsaw puzzles. You could take one piece and hold it up and try to figure out what's the significance of this piece. What is that got to do with anything else? But if you take your piece and connect it to that which is right next to you and fit in the connection, now you got two pieces and you hold it up and you still don't understand. You could have a jigsaw puzzle half put together and you still don't know what it is. Folks, we will never know the total plan of God. And you're not responsible for any particular outcome. All you're responsible for is to obey and be faithful. Obey and be faithful to what God has given you. Just to do the thing you can do. You don't have to do the thing others. You know, I feel this sometimes when I pray for people that are sick. You know, I start praying and I almost feel like I got to pray a good prayer here. And I really want to exercise my faith and you know, because it's almost like the healing depends on me. No, the healing doesn't depend on me. All I can do is pray. All I can do is bring it to the Lord. I don't understand sometimes why people don't get healed. But I don't know that. I don't know the end from the beginning. God knows. He knows how all the pieces fit. I don't know how they all fit. Someday we're going to understand. I only know in part. But then I'm going to know in eternity what it was all about. And so I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to, you know, say, oh, I just feel so bad. And, oh, I'm not going to give up. Because, you know, that should have happened. We have expectations of what we think will happen if we do the will of God. You cannot project that because you don't know. Your job is just to obey and be faithful. And as it came to Mary, she just said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me, even as you have said. We just surrender. And we say, God, and Mary didn't understand. She had no idea. She pondered a lot of things in her heart. She couldn't figure it all out. But she just said, Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be according to your will. Whatever you say, I say yes. And that's the stance we have to take as Christians. I don't understand why things unfold the way they do. but I don't need to understand. And I'm not even going to be fearful or afraid. I'm just going to trust God is in control, and he's working it all together. There's these verses in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter, the heroes of the faith. Talks about Abraham and Moses and, you know, David. It goes through the list of people who did mighty exploits. And they saw a result come from what they exercised their faith towards. But I want to direct your attention to verse, starting at verse 35 of Hebrews 11. And it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Some received what they thought was going to happen. I mean, Noah saw the ark built, and many. But there are others, they lived their life out, and to someone looking on would have said, this is a failure, it's a waste, I don't understand. But the Lord said they all received a good testimony of faith. We're going to be judged on our faithfulness. We're going to stand before the Lord, and were you faithful? Faithful to what he gave you to do. And even when it doesn't turn out, the outcome isn't what you think, it doesn't really matter because I've been faithful. I've done what the Lord has given me to do. And I've done it with a full heart and a heart of faith. And I trust God. I don't know how my little piece fits, but sometime in eternity, the one that wandered in the wilderness, the ones that got sawn in two, and the people that were mocked and scourged, they're going to say, oh, I see why that worked out. It's going to come out eventually. So we just need to be faithful. Do you want God's will for your life? You up for God's plan? Are you up for a visitation? Yeah. A visitation, a divine visitation. Who calls you? I tell you, God knows exactly where you are. He knows who you are. He knows your abilities. He knows your background. He knows your failures. He knows all about you. But he's looking at you with grace and with favor. And he has wants to use you for his kingdom. I want to be used. I want to be like Mary. I want to say, Lord, be it unto me according to your will. Shall we stand together this morning? I think the saddest thing might be that we drew close enough to the Lord to experience salvation. We surrendered to the Lord enough where we believe for blessings in our life, and we saw those blessings come. The sad thing, if there's fear in your heart that you won't draw close and say, Lord, I want your purposes done in me. Because I'm fearful. I want us to be open to the Lord this morning. Receive his salvation, receive his blessings, but then yield yourself. And say, God, I want to be used of you. I want to have eternal significance. And Lord, I don't understand it all, but I'm just yielding. I'm saying, Lord, let it be to me. If you feel that way, pray with me. Just raise your hand to the Lord if you want to be part of this prayer. Father, we've heard your word that challenges us because we only see partly. But Lord, we know you have a great plan. And you have each and every one of us. You're in us. You live through us. You're bringing us into unique circumstances and places where you want us to shine and bring your presence. We want to be the physical manifestation of Christ to the world. Take away our fear, Lord. All those things that hold us back. We just surrender it. Say, we're not going to fear. We're not going to fear anymore. Lord, we're going to launch out. We're going to believe you. We're going to start doing and giving our gift and using our abilities and talents for you. Lord, take each one of us. Knit us all together into this fabric of your will for us in this world. Use us as a body, as a local church, as part of your church universal, for individuals, for families. Lord, you have a plan and purpose for all of us. Knit us all together, I pray. May we be fully yielded to you. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let it be, Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord.